Let us for a little turn to verse 6 of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We're here today to mark the 50 years of service of two of our senior ministers. And we're also here today in order to mark another minister joining our church. It's a time for looking back over the past half century, recognizing the labors of these men, but giving praise not to the men, but giving praise to God, who enabled these men to serve Him. Without God, we can do nothing. And anything we try to do without His help is a failure. We need God, and we need God's help. And with God's help, there's no limit. But without God, we're in a difficult situation indeed. Here we're told, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So we're looking back at what these men have done over the years, but we're also looking ahead. We're looking into the future, and we're looking up to God. Through my God assisting me, I overleap a wall. With God's help, we can do great things. Well, first of all, we have here then today two good men. Paul was one of the greatest men ever. He was born in Tarsus, in the region of Cilicia, and what would be Asiatic Turkey today. But he was brought up in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel, a leading rabbi. He was taught well in the scriptures, and he excelled above his contemporaries. He was gifted, intelligent. He applied himself with diligence. He was full of zeal. And in fact, his zeal led to him persecuting the church of God. When the Christian church began, he saw it as a heretical sect. And so, with zeal and enthusiasm, he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He was a tremendous missionary, preaching the gospel in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, Damascus, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, all the way to Philippi and Thessalonica and Athens and Corinth and Rome, preaching God's word, planting churches across the world. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament, more than anyone else. He came to Corinth and he planted the church there. That's Paul. And then we're told here about another man, Apollos. We first come across him in Ephesus. At that stage, he only knew about John's baptism. But he was from Alexandria, and in Alexandria they had schools amongst the Jews where they studied typology in the Old Testament. And when he came to Ephesus, he was mighty in the scriptures, and he was an eloquent man. He received further teaching from Priscilla and Aquila and Paul, and he made his way eventually to Corinth. Paul had planted the church there, and Apollos watered the church. Two great men. And here we are today, recognizing two ministers from our own circle. One of them, a man who came from the island of Skye, a Gaelic speaker, the son of a Free Church minister. The other from the south of Scotland, the son of a miner, a Scots speaker, broad Scots. Both these men, very different in their backgrounds, different in their outlooks, different in their personality, but both of them have labored for 50 years. Mr. MacLeod in Ballyporle, and then in Duke Street, Grant Street in Glasgow, and latterly in Arran. And Mr. Scott in Moyabamba in Peru, and then in Duffeldoors in Invernessshire, and then down in Dumfries, but also out in Eastern Europe and in Spain and different places. These two men labouring for the Lord. But who were Paul and Apollos? We're told here in verse 5 that they were ministers, servants. Who were Mr. MacLeod and Mr. Scott? Servants. And it's so important to remember that. We are just servants. We're not to seek for ourselves honour and glory. We're not to lord it over others. We think of John the Baptist. He must increase and I must decrease. That's the way it should be. Let us think little of ourselves and let us think much of Christ. Servants. And yet there's a wonderful honour in being a servant of the Lord. I love the way the book of Joshua begins. Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died. And God spake to Joshua. Moses, the servant of the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord? What an honour it is to be a servant of the Lord. Two good men. But then notice our great God. The Corinthians were wrong. They made too much of the men. Some said, we're of Paul. We love Paul. We think Paul's the greatest. We're belonging to Paul's party. Others said, we think Apollos is far better, far more eloquent. He's got a better personality. There's certain things about him that we really like. We're on Apollos' side. And so these parties came about in the church in Corinth. Now there should be no parties among us. We're one family. We're brothers and sisters. We should love one another and delight in one another. And we should love to praise one another and think more highly of others than we do of ourselves. So Paul here says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And it's the increase that matters. God gives the increase. Not one soul can be converted by man. It's God's work. It's God's work to bring forth fruit in the life of an individual. Some plant, some water, some do both. But only God gives the increase. So we have to lift up our eyes and to see the one who's reigning on the throne of heaven. And surely if God is teaching us anything in our day and generation, it's this. That we are weak. We can do nothing. We labor and we see nothing happening. We preach and there seems no fruit. We look at our churches and we see them declining. And what is God saying to us? Humble yourselves before me. Without me you can do nothing. Recognize your own weakness. Get rid of your pride and your boasting and your showing off. And just think, I'm the one who gives the increase. Me and me alone. Surely that is what God is emphasizing for us today. All glory must be given to him. Paul ministered in a very difficult day. There were times when he was beaten, times when he was whipped, times when he was put in prison, times when he was stoned, and he was eventually martyred. Now that kind of rough treatment doesn't happen to us in this country today. It does happen in certain parts of the world. And Christians and ministers are persecuted in North Korea, in Iran, in Nigeria, in so many different countries. We have freedom here for which we are thankful. But then we have another problem today. Our problem is not so much the persecution. Our problem is the apathy. People just aren't interested. They don't care. The indifference. We have a wonderful gospel to preach. But how can we get people to hear it? We go out onto the streets, down to the center of town. But people walk by, they're not interested. We go round the doors, we try to invite them along to hear the gospel, but they're not interested. Sometimes they might come to church and listen to a bit, but they say, it's too hard, or I don't want to make that kind of commitment, or you're too strict, or something like that. And they turn and they walk away. They're not interested. So that's our great problem today. And of course, God is the one who makes people interested. And it's amazing how God can make the most unlikely people to be interested and to be concerned and seeking the Lord. These two older men who've labored for 50 years, they have seen much change. But God still has his elect. And God is still converting sinners. We would love to see more. Mr. McLeod planted. Mr. Scott watered. God gave the increase. But oh, we look for more today. But what of the future then? I remember when I began my ministry, I actually entered college the year these two gentlemen left. I remember two old ministers, when I began my ministry, talking together. And they were saying, we really wouldn't like to be starting our ministry today. I was a young man, full of enthusiasm and zeal, but there they were saying, we've seen such changes in our lifetime. I wouldn't like to be beginning my ministry today, they were saying. They were glad they had come to the end of their lives. But in these 50 years, what changes there have been? How much more it seems today that for some of us, how hard it would be to be beginning our ministry today. As we think of the Pride March going on in Glasgow today and the the showing off of immorality and filth in our city. We think of the way marriage has been destroyed. We think of the abortions going on in our society, the ungodliness, the atheism. How difficult things are. But what we must remember is God has his plan. God is on the throne. God is still reigning. He has his purposes and he's carrying them out. He is the one who calls men to the ministry and sends them forth. And he is the one, we believe, who has brought Mr. Farms to join with us in our church today. And we thank God for that, and we seek blessing, rich blessing, to be upon his ministry amongst us. It seems to some of us far harder to be a minister today than it was in the 1970s. But in a sense, it's not any harder. All we can do is plant and water, but God does the hard work. He gives the increase. And he will give what increase pleases him. And let us remember, no labor in the Lord is in vain. What we do for God is worthwhile. It might seem very, very small in comparison to what others around us are doing for this world. But a tiny little bit of service done for eternity is of far more value than 100 years of service done for this world and for things of this life. God will have his harvest. It will always be there. And it's often darkest before the dawn. So let us labor on. Let us work while it is yet today. The night comes when no man can work. Our faith must be in God. His grace is irresistible. None can resist the mighty grace of God. So let us have confidence in God. He will have his church. He will build it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's church, God's kingdom, and God's king are always victorious. Better days lie ahead. The best is yet to be. The glory of the Lord shall cover the face of the earth, as the waters cover the face of the deep. And the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we rejoice that we have thee as our God. We rejoice in the throne in heaven. We're